I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting a little dark out there. I have my first baseball game scheduled for tonight. It was last week that it got rained out, and it could get rained out again tonight, so we shall see. Donna Behringer, friend of the show, city is it comptroller or controller?
It's comptroller.
Okay, because I've heard it both ways, and one of my persnickety friends said, it's never a P. And I'm like, okay, that's all right, fine. But the comptroller, if she tells me it's comptroller, that's what it's going to be.
It is comptroller.
So congratulations. Haven't seen you since the election. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure you weren't surprised, but that was nice. It's progress.
It's progress. But I mean, it was, I spent 6 months of my life working on that. So I had decided that I felt that the comptroller played a pivotal role in our city coming back on many different levels.
Yeah.
And that's why I ran for it, because I want to make sure that our city's turning around. And I really feel that right now. There's just changing. It's like an aura. I can feel it.
That's
Everyone
great.
Can feel it.
I have to give you a compliment, and I wouldn't say this if it were the other way. I just wouldn't say anything. But all the people who I deal with on the show, all the politicos, just love you.
Oh,
don't
thank
they?
You.
Mm-hmm. Very complimentary. Yeah, they always say what a hard worker you are.
Yes.
Yes.
You'll never outwork me.
Yeah. Yeah. Just lifelong hard worker, huh?
Yeah. Actually, I was telling a story. We were doing the new Millennial Hotel and the redevelopment. And when we lived in the city, when I was in college, I worked at that hotel. First it was Stouffer's, and then it was the Clarion. So for the summers of 82, 83, 84, I worked the front desk. And then if there was a conference in town, then I would go work the cocktail lounge. Mm-hmm. I also babysat for people there, and I was a lifeguard for the city of St. Louis.
Jeez.
So I worked 3 to 4 jobs every single summer when I was in college.
Can you relax?
No.
You're just always going, huh?
Yes. But when I need to, you know, just take a break, I completely just zone out. I'll just watch a podcast, listen to a podcast, or I'll watch some useless TV, really.
Yeah, good for you. So when you walked in, did you kind of know what you were walking into, or was it a surprise?
I knew that there had been, during the administration, they kind of had, you know, I call it cloistering, where, you know, they were siloed. It didn't matter what office it was. There was not a lot of open communication. And so what I can say is that was evident by just being in the building itself. Mm-hmm. That in general, a lot of people weren't as open because they weren't used to it. And I feel that's changed. The three of us, which is the Board of ENA, Estimate Apportionment, which is the mayor, the comptroller, and the president Board of Aldermen, we've been working very well together. And especially during this tornado, whatever any of us needed, we stepped up to the plate. Didn't matter what time of day, whatever was needed, we were all there and all for each other and all for the citizens and everyone impacted.
Walk me through your story with the tornado. I was literally sitting at Wrigley Field with my son, Nick, had made our first trip up there, took the train, and I'm getting text and pictures, and I didn't know what to make of it. It just didn't compute that a tornado this bad could be hitting St. Louis. When you found out about it, just walk me through how you sprung into action.
Well, I was actually at City Hall, and I was in a meeting, and my office looks out over Tucker, and it started to get dark, you know, it got real windy, and some rain came down, but we didn't end our meeting. I didn't have a TV on. I wasn't on a computer. I had no idea what was going on except for a storm was coming in. And I had some employees say, well, you know, do you mind if we leave early? And I said, I don't know if you want to do that. This looks like a bad storm. But if you think you can get home in time, go for it. But think about staying here. So we continued with our meeting. And then the sun came out and we're sitting there. And then all of a sudden, my phone blows up. And I'm like, what? And I mean, I couldn't even fathom it, because I'm looking at the sun shining. Nothing had happened downtown. So I said, okay, as the comptroller, what's the number one thing you need from me? And they said, you're going to need to come down here because we have emergency work orders that have to be signed. So we have contracts and only the comptroller can sign these contracts. So I said, okay, where do I meet? And they told me where the headquarters was, which was Delmore and South Kings Highway. It took us almost 2 hours to get to Delmore and South Kings Highway. Every time we went down a street, there was another tree down. We couldn't get there. But once we finally did get there, that's when we were trying to find out, okay, in an emergency, what is the role of the comptroller? What do we need to do? And tell me and I'll do it. And that was basically, I was on call 24/7 so that if a call came at 2 o'clock in the morning because we needed to pay somebody to take a tree out of the way, I would sign on the contract right there on DocuSign from my phone.
Mm-hmm. I bet you've learned so much about this area. I mean, not this physical area, but just this area of what happens after a storm now.
So I can say, because I had been alderman, and I have told people that in an emergency, if it's a true emergency, the emergency workers can't get to you right away. So think about that you'll probably be relying on whoever's nearest to you. So what I thought would happen is exactly what happened. And that is all those who were in dire need of help, right? It was neighbors coming out of their houses. It was neighbors helping neighbors. And I love the quote that look for the helpers. They'll always be helpers. And that's key. And I guess that's also why I like living in the city, because it's highly dense and mm-hmm. there's a lot of people. And so that part made my heart very warm mm-hmm. because I knew that people would help people. It just didn't matter. Whatever you need, I will be there.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the good stories, some of the sad stories, just some of the people things that you've seen since the storm.
I think I was most sick to my stomach when they brought in the cadaver dogs. And I was standing there when they brought the dogs in, and I knew why they had the dogs. And then when I heard the call come in, we found some bodies. That, to me, I've never experienced that.
No.
And I was just ready to throw up.
Yeah.
I'm still upset by it.
Yeah.
The good stories are when you see people and you're trying to help them and they hug you and you're like, you don't need to hug me. You're the one that I want to hug because I want to be here for you. But they're just so happy to have people helping, and from everywhere. It wasn't just city people. People came from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just a great feeling. It was a great feeling.
I know it's been a slog for everyone involved, people who live there, people like yourself who are helping out. Has it gone fairly well by your estimation so far, everything that you've had to do for the people in North City?
I think it has gone extremely well. And the reason I have something to actually compare it to is because we had floods a few years ago. And because the process and procedures were not followed exactly as FEMA requires, the city ended up not getting as much money in reimbursements. And the people that wanted buyouts or didn't want to be in the floodplain, they also lost out. So I knew that we needed to follow the directions, and that's what we did. Everyone said, okay, what are the guidelines? How do we make out, what's the paperwork? And there was a command center, and people were at the command center at all times. So it was all hands on deck 24/7.
Yeah. Same with your coworkers, same with Kara. And
oh, I can't tell people enough that we would actually have to tell Kara, you need some sleep, you need to eat, you need to spend some time with your son, because she wouldn't sleep, and you could just see that it was wearing on her. And so she's a workaholic. And that's the way she'll always be. But we were concerned about her. And then she'd get rest. And then she'd be, bing, she'd become right back in the regular Kara mode. And I just told people, I said, she will do great.
Yeah.
If this is her under stress, you know she's going to do a fabulous job.
Yeah. Well, happier things. And if you have anything to throw out there, please do. But I'm interested being around your age and Stouffer's and the Clarion and staying there and the spinning restaurant. It's going to be sad to see it come down, but it's time.
Oh my gosh, yes, it is time. I can say, and this is based on the fact that the comptroller, we see the contracts for parking. So the parking at the arch, the amount of cars, we've almost tripled the amount of cars that are coming down to the arch. And usually, not always, but statistically, those are usually families. So the increase in families coming into the city of St. Louis to go to the arch, the court building that's been completely redone, is very, not only is it something that you should watch, but that tells you that we're going to need more things for families. The entertainment district, especially with the Union Station, mm-hmm. and that's catering to families. So I see things changing for the city for the better.
Yeah. Help us out. Since we're not on the inside, you say that there's an aura, an energy of feeling. Flesh that out for us, for those of us who are not in the middle of it.
So a lot of times, especially when it comes to development, you know, it's kind of like it's a small family. And when people start telling stories of how difficult it is to work with a city, or they come to a city and they want to help and they want to put something together, and it all falls apart because one entity in any part of the process could actually kill it. Mm. Then you start to get a reputation that, hey, that's not a place to go to develop because they're difficult to work with. And so that narrative is starting to change. Now, I'm not a part of this, but I do know that the police, even though they're under the state, I can just see it in their faces because I've been to multiple events, especially with the tornado, and no one, it just seems like they're happier on the job. Mm-hmm. So that should be able to help us in recruiting. Mm-hmm. So those are two very real things. And then we had the 4th of July, and we didn't have what we had the year before. Yeah. There may have been a couple incidents, but nothing like before. Yeah. So we have police officers on every corner, and that's important. People need to feel safe. And people are starting to feel safe, so you'll have more people come downtown.
Yeah, I've noticed a change, too. And in fact, after the 4th of July, I used my time on the show to formally apologize to Mitch McCoy. Because when he came out and said, we're going to write a bunch of tickets and we're going to cite the parents, I said, no, you're not. You don't have the political will to do it. Administrations have not had the will to do it. You're going to talk a big game. You're not going to do it. And damn it, they did it. Good for them.
Yes. And you could see how people reacted because I went on to the different social media sites and they were like, finally, finally, because we don't want people to be afraid to come downtown. And what I heard over and over is it was considered a playground for people to come and just destroy. And so now everyone's like, nope, this is not a playground anymore. We're shutting this down. And they are. They're actually doing it.
It's amazing how the old stuff still works.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Just cops on the corner, a threat to your freedom or getting a ticket that you can't afford. It still works.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It actually does.
So you're just kind of getting your feet wet and getting going and, you know, baptism by fire with the tornado. What's important to you for the rest of your term?
I have told people that what's important to me is number one is the airport. And then second is downtown revitalization. And I say that because the two go hand in hand. And so if you're going to get more international flights, if you're going to attract more Fortune 500 businesses, you have to have a state-of-the-art airport, which we're working on. But then you also have to have a business district they're attracted to. So if we fill downtown with visitors, you know, people coming for conferences, that is a designated stream of revenue that we would have that we do not have right now. You know, we have a lot of commercial property that's sitting vacant in downtown St. Louis. Vacancies don't generate any taxes. So I tell people, I said, we have to have a healthy downtown. And to have new money, it has to come from at least 80 miles away. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, I said, you know, with the Cardinals, when they have, you know, three games in a row here, a family will come and stay for 4 or 5 days. And that means they stay in hotels, they use the restaurants, and they will come from more than 80 miles away. That is new money that's generated for the city of St. Louis that then gets dispersed throughout our community. And that's what I would focus on for helping with building back North St. Louis.
What are the challenges and opportunities at the airport?
Well, the challenge is going to be building a new airport while still running one. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have temporary runways. Mm-hmm. Everything's going to be temporary. But what we need to make sure we do is that we build one that will be able to handle what we want, not what we currently have. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm one of those people. I use the airport as well. So I sit on the airport commission. So we did go through what's called a charrette. So we saw their ideas of how they want to build it. I focused on what I see as important is what is the stream of revenue, and it's concessions. So I said that's my focus. I want to see what airport in the United States turns over per square foot the most money in concessions that goes back to that city. Mm-hmm. And that's where I focus on. Where do we make the money, and then how do we make the people happy, and then how do we get more flights, and how do we become more international?
This is St. Louis, and I feel better having you on the watch. I appreciate it. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
DGS 324. Dave Murray's going to join us in about 10 minutes. We'll see what is in the offing for the afternoon weather-wise. Although it seems like these things are not like coming from the west or coming from the south. These are like just kind of popping up. So we'll find out from Dave just what we're looking at for the afternoon hours. So, Rach, you share my distrust of HOAs.
Well, there's a story that just came out. This man is in a legal battle with his HOA because it's hot outside. He wanted to put a cooler out at the end of his driveway with some bottles of water for Amazon delivery drivers or people just walking through the neighborhood. Maybe if there's an unhoused person walking by, he wants to share the cold, refreshing water with people on his block. And the HOA said it's an eyesore to have your cooler out in your driveway, and they've been locked into this dispute for a while now. I think at this point, he's just still putting the cooler out of spite.
Good.
Which I 100% support. It's my dang driveway, and I should be able to put a cooler out there if I want to. It's not like he has like a bounce house in his front yard or something that's causing an eyesore. He's got one cooler full of water that's helping people when it's hot.
Yeah.
There are just times where the HOA wants to take things way too far, and they need to chill out.
I'm sure there are people involved in the HOA who are not monsters. I've not met them yet.
I understand why it exists to an extent, but when it's like, oh, you can't have an igloo cooler in the driveway, that's insane. It's
my experience with HOAs in a couple of different neighborhoods now is that's mostly what it is. Happy, happy horse crap. It's not the big things. It's not keeping someone from raising goats in their front yard. It's you painted your door blue and we don't like blue and you need to it's just a bunch of crap. Mm-hmm. And then they charge you out the ass.
And the water thing, I mean, this is helping people. This could be saving people. Not even like, you know,
he's not running a business.
Not running a business. And it's not even just, it could help anybody. It could help the neighbors. It could help somebody that's out for a jog, didn't realize how hot it was, didn't prepare for, didn't bring water themselves or whatever. And now they are half a mile from their house on the other side of the neighborhood and going, wow, I feel like I'm going to pass out if I don't get some nice cold water right now.
So the HOA said the association does not object to a resident providing water bottles within the community. However, the community's rules do not allow a resident to advertise water bottle distribution from a portable ice chest located next to their garage that is visible from neighboring property.
Kiss my ass.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's in the bylaws. You wrote all that in when it was passed down from the heavens on a stone tablet centuries ago.
So this man is basically doing a GoFundMe to pay for his legal bills at this point because it's escalated that far. Mm-hmm. But he says, you know, I think it just started out with like normal HOA nitpicking, but then it turned into like a full-blown war whenever he started a petition in the neighborhood to kind of overrule the HOA. So now things are just getting and nasty.
You're willing to sacrifice our love. Welcome back, guys. DGS 333. Dave Murray joins us. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So I guess the atmosphere is kind of right for some pop-ups.
Oh, yeah. They're popping. In fact, it's not severe, but there's a pretty good thunderstorm in St. Louis City right now, especially North St. Louis City. Part of that's going to sweep right across downtown here, probably in the next 30 minutes or so. It goes up through Granite City, all the way up through South Roxana, Wood River, Bethalto. I wouldn't call it a line of thunderstorms, but it is as close to a line as we get. Also around West Alton, there's another little batch just north of Florissant. And then after that, they're here and there. They're kind of scattered variety, and they will be around until about 8 or 9 o'clock tonight. Expect some, if you get under one, heavy downpours of rain, a little lightning. I do not anticipate anything severe. It's very humid out there. Otherwise, partly cloudy, 74 for the overnight low. Tomorrow, hottest day of the week, mainly sunny. Nothing more than an isolated or spot storm in the afternoon. It's hot. It's humid. 95 on Wednesday. The record is 103 from 1936, so not even close to a record. Warm and humid Wednesday night, 77. That's it for the low. That's icky. Then on Thursday, partly sunny, hot and humid, 94. Scattered thunderstorms will be developing Thursday afternoon as a very weak cool front tries to get in here. Scattered thunderstorms will continue Thursday evening into Thursday night. Friday will be cooler, 85. Still kind of humid, partly sunny skies. Still a chance of a thunderstorm as the front kind of locks up to our south. The low 90s, maybe even mid-90s back for the weekend. Come on, it's July. What do you want?
Yeah, I saw the dew point was like 70-something, so that's pretty 73. Nasty, right?
73 is when you walk out the door, or you're not living with AC or a fan or whatever, you go, ick.
Yeah.
Just ick.
Yeah. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, first of all, Dave Murray's weather forecast was just sponsored by Saks Financial, and Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So some unreleased music from Beyonce was stolen in Atlanta during her Cowboy Carter tour. A police incident report says a suspect is accused of stealing two suitcases containing sensitive material related to Beyonce's performances, including unreleased music and show plans. These were in a vehicle in Atlanta earlier this month when she was performing. Preliminary investigation revealed a Jeep was broken into at the location and two suitcases had been stolen. The suspect's identity has not been released, and they remain missing, according to the police statement.
I'm not saying it didn't happen. It's just awfully weird and on the nose.
That is weird.
Yeah.
What is that stuff doing in a Jeep?
It's a good question.
Where are your people who are supposed to hold on to that stuff?
Yeah, it's your unreleased music.
Yeah, the only reason I don't think it's like a made-up story is because what do they get after... out of making.
Yeah, no, I think it happened. I'm with Dave, though. Like, if I'm Beyonce, if I'm a billionaire, and I have my next album in a suitcase in a Jeep with no one watching it, like,
It does seem like there would be some other protocols for the Beyonce album.
Yeah, not impressive.
NVIDIA is going to resume selling their H20 graphic processing chips to China. The Trump administration had initially blocked the sale. NVIDIA had lobbied intensely, warning of significant financial losses and potential competitive disadvantages if they were not allowed to sell to China. This is seen as a response to concern that other countries could fill the gap in AI technology if American companies were restricted from selling to China.
You know what that tells me? China is our biggest enemy. China is an amazing problem. We need to get rid of TikTok because China is spying on all of this. China, China, China. Until someone in America is not going to make money, then it's fine. That's what it seems like.
Well, yeah. I mean, it definitely feels like it's a boogeyman when it needs to be a boogeyman. But for the most part, we're pretty cool with them and
pretty much
a ton of business with them every single day.
Right.
Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has announced his candidacy for New York City mayor as an independent candidate. You know, he had just lost the Democratic primary, but he aims to appeal to voters disillusioned with traditional party politics and bypass the primary system.
That's crap. The only thing he's going to do, I'm sorry, but that's happy horse crap. The only thing he's going to do is get all of the possibly independent and Republican votes who don't want to vote for a Democratic socialist. I mean, it's a pretty good play on his part. He could actually win this thing.
I just wonder, why does this guy want to be in power so badly?
He really does.
I mean, he's willing to...
He's from a political family. Yeah. I mean, it's in their blood.
And I don't think he thought he was going to have another shot. And so the fact that when he said he was going to run for mayor, people didn't just completely lose it.
Well, he lost pretty bad, though, in the primary. So, like, I'm not so sure he has another shot. I mean, just because he stood up and went, yeah, I'm going to run again.
Yeah, I don't count that as having a shot.
Supposedly saying that if the polls show there's no way he can win come September, he will drop out.
But that already happened.
This time around.
The last remaining new car below $20,000 in the United States is going to disappear by the end of the summer. That's the Mitsubishi Mirage, and it's expected to disappear from dealers' lots soon. It sells for an average of $18,484, and it was discontinued in June with less than 1,700 vehicles left in the country. And as car prices continue to rise, the Mirage is likely to be gone by the end of the summer.
So it becomes a Mirage.
Aha!
Writes itself. Just writes itself.
Every time we do a story like this, I mean, I do okay here. They pay me pretty well. And I just bought a four-year-old Jeep with 50,000 miles on it for like 30-something thousand. And I didn't have a payment for all those years I paid off my other Jeep. And I just don't know how like normies are going out there and buying $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 vehicles.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know either.
You guys on Nextdoor ever use the Nextdoor social media site?
Yep.
Yeah.
I did for a while. I'm not on it.
Yeah,
anymore.
I'm with Dave.
It's gotten pretty annoying. It's usually like, oh my gosh, somebody in a hoodie is walking down the block. Call the cops.
Yeah.
But now they are revamping their services by partnering with other local news providers to provide news content on the app. The company is aiming to increase user engagement by offering alerts for weather, power outages, and using AI to improve recommendations. This could benefit both local news organizations and Nextdoor as the local news industry continues to struggle with declining readership and revenue. This makes sense to me for these two things to kind of like hold hands and try to do something together, because you get on Nextdoor because you want to know what's going on locally. You have that infusion of local news. This could be good for everyone. Hopefully it kind of turns around the bad rap that Nextdoor has gotten in the past couple
of
years.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know about you, but I got off it because it was just seemed like a trashier version of Facebook.
Yeah, it was like, this is totally useless information.
Yeah.
You're wasting my time.
America's dairy farmers and ice cream producers have agreed to quit using artificial colors in their ice cream. The U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, together with U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Dr. Mary McCarry, have made this announcement, basically saying it's going to be eliminated by the end of 2027.
Fine by me.
No, me too.
One last story for you for headlines. The Superman kiss scenes have been censored in India for being, quote, overly sensual.
They 100% are.
I was going to ask if you agreed, because you've seen the movie.
The chemistry between them is unreal. Hmm. And there was I was like a little uncomfortable watching them, because there's a couple of them that go on a little too long.
Well, he is Superman.
It is steamy, to say the least.
So the scenes include a 33-second midair kiss between Lois Lane and Superman.
Yeah, that's at the end of the movie, and I was like, okay, we get it.
Oh yeah, 33 seconds is a long time for a makeout scene. For a superhero movie?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, there was another part that they removed, too, that I seem to have accidentally deleted from my story. But in total, they removed 45 seconds of the 130-minute movie for being too sensual.
Well, at first, I just thought that Indian people were way too pent up. But if it was making you uncomfortable.
It was like, whew, goodness.
What's been your longest kiss, Andrew?
And then midair?
Anywhere.
I can't jump very high, so.
You don't get 33 seconds of airtime?
Probably like a quarter of a second of airtime.
Did you guys see the story where the expectant father wheeled a television and an Xbox into the room with his wife while she was getting ready to have birth, to give birth?
Dude. There's a few instances of that I've heard.
You wonder whether it was performative because he knew he would go viral, or if he just really was going to be bored and wanted his Xbox.
I think there are plenty of men out there who would organically make that choice without thinking of the fact that it's going to go viral. And that's sad. Like, you can't put down the Xbox for one night while your wife delivers your baby. Like, come on. You always see these stories, too, of men being like, yeah, I was there for 24 hours and I had to sleep on a chair. It's like, you didn't just give birth. They give the bed to the person that gave birth.
There
Can
is a lot of that.
Please just kind of chill for
a
brief period of time. You're in the hospital supporting your wife who is bearing your child.
When Maureen had Phoebe, it was a C-section scheduled 1 p.m., 30405, and we get there like we're going to the barber shop, you know, and so they're walking us back, and there are these little, you know, birthing theaters with a curtain, and behind one of them is just pools of blood. Ooh. And it was, first of all, just jarring. And then secondly, having been a Med-Mal defense attorney, I thought, this is really inappropriate. I can't believe. And so the nurse saw us seeing this and she goes, oh, no, no, no. That's a husband who was filming and got woozy and passed out and broke his nose. So he just fell down and just bloodied the whole place up. Thank you, Dave.
You got it.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, DGS 348. Andrew, you had some AI experiences and thoughts?
I'm just getting some weird videos, man. On the TikTok. It's getting
strange. You said it was fine for me to send those.
It's it's getting stranger. So the last one that I've been seeing is, it is videos of AI. I've gotten like three of them now. Videos of AI generated dogs. And then people come up also. It's all AI. And then people come up and kick the dogs.
I've seen these.
And like very sad music is playing. And the idea is like, oh, I feel so bad for that doggy. And I'm like, why? Who's making this? Who's making the repeated video of the dogs getting kicked? Like a dachshund getting punted in the face on a street corner or whatever. It's like, why am I seeing this? Why is this being made? Who's making this and for what purpose?
Yeah, where's the demand for that?
And it furthers I've talked about it on the show before, but what's called the dead internet theory, which is basically like bots are creating AI videos to be consumed by no one of dogs getting kicked on the street corner in the same way that, you know, monkeys with a typewriter will one day create Shakespeare. Everything will at some point be created by no one for no one, but it will be created and hosted somewhere.
That's interesting.
In the grand internet. Yeah, it's like when you click on a bot tweet that has 100 replies and they're all from other bots. It's like no human being had a hand in these many, many, many interactions. It's just
so who's directing,
non-life talking to non-life.
Who's directing the bots to create the content?
I mean,
set them off on their own and they do their own stuff?
Kind of, yeah. You can kind of just, to a certain extent, you can just set them off and be like, all right, go. You know, say the things that are popular on Twitter and interact with various trends.
Just seeing
or whatever.
On CNN as we're speaking that the Pentagon has awarded the contract for the Pentagon's AI, our government, our military's AI to Grok.
Yeah, which don't forget, last week had a Hitler loving Nazi rape fantasy meltdown. To the point where it had to be taken off of the website entirely for a couple days. So great. Yeah, great. Glad that's going to be in charge of, like, you know, who's getting deported now.
What's the, don't both of you have some hatred for the Harry Potter thing?
It's stupid.
I just the reboots in general, they've been releasing photos from the new Harry Potter series that I think is going to be on HBO. I haven't really looked into it too much. This little kid that's playing Harry Potter just looks exactly like Daniel Radcliffe. And it's like, what? Well,
you already got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already had this.
I can already watch him.
We already had this. People were pointing out that that about this specifically is that there's like, okay, there's remakes that that take the old and make it new again. But what is like, what are we doing with the remakes like this where you cast a kid that looks just like Daniel Radcliffe? To be the new Harry Potter in the new Harry Potter show, and then they've got you know, Nick Frost from the various, you know, Edgar Wright movies like Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz. He is playing Hagrid, and they've got him looking literally exactly like Robbie Coltrane did as Hagrid back in the early 2000s. And you're like, again, this is, it just looks exactly like it did the first time. So then you have to ask, what actually is the purpose of this? Why?
Well, the purpose is for these companies to make money.
Yeah, it's to make money,
but
obviously.
My question is, like, why does the consumer look forward to something they've already seen? That's the part that boggles my mind, is I'm like, the AI puppy kicking videos, like, where is the demand for this? Just watch the original Harry Potter. I just don't understand why you're so willing to, like, keep putting money in the pockets of these, like, soulless corporations who are like, yep, here's your slop. We're just doing Harry Potter again because we can't think of another thing to give you.
Yeah, it would make a lot of sense to me if they were new stories or a new take or a new universe or something like that, because people loved that one. But yeah.
Yeah, give us something new. I don't care to see Nick Frost's Hagrid that is literally exactly the same as what Robbie Coltrane was doing with the character 20 years ago. That doesn't matter to me. I don't need to see that. I'm not excited to see that.
And who's the new jackass you think could keep people away from the far right manosphere?
Oh, like the show Jackass or the movies.
I see.
Yeah, I guess the framing is that there's...
Yeah, I thought there's just some guy you thought was a jackass.
I got folks, there's a new jackass in town. No, I was having a long discussion with my brother about this, about how much did you watch of like
enough
those
to
movies
get it.
Or the... Yeah, so those movies, I think, were very influential on a certain era, like kind of that early Bush era of like... male and masculinity, right? Like, it was huge for me when I was in like middle school and high school, huge for a lot of people. And it was, I mean, the message is not that much different than, like, you know, when they say, like they say now, go outside and touch grass, go outside and do stupid things with your friends, don't be glued to the computer. My brother's been reading a book about this, and so we had this long conversation because I have a kind of special interest with Jackass, and I think they are modern day tragedies. If you look at, you know, how the movies and series have played out versus, you know, what they're all up to nowadays. I just think it's really interesting. We don't have anything like that anymore, and kids aren't pushed towards doing that sort of thing anymore. Mm-hmm. So they end up just like sitting around watching, like, you know, the far right manosphere streams on
Do you know who
Twitch
Nick Adams
Kick.
Is?
Yeah.
He's now an ambassador.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know that?
I did.
Trump named
Well, no, I guess I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Trump
but
named
I know
him
he
to be
is.
An ambassador.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.